Hello, I'm Pastor Scott Seeke from Amazing Grace Lutheran Church in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Thank you for downloading this week's sermon. Please visit tisgrace.org to learn more about our church. Enjoy. I grew up my entire childhood in the same house. My parents never moved. I remember when I was about 17, I asked my dad, I said, "Dad, why didn't you ever move?" He said, "Well, you find me another house with a mortgage that's 150 bucks a month and we'll move." All right, that's kind of difficult logic to argue with. So, first 18 years of my life, never moved. The biggest things that happened where I grew up were that Delson's supermarket, a department store burned down and we got a video rental store. All right, those were the most exciting things that happened where I grew up. Nothing changed. 18 years, nothing changed. I went to college, went to Syracuse, spent my first year in a dorm. Next 3 years, I lived in an apartment two doors down from the dorm. 4 years of my life, nothing changed. After that, I spent a year back in Albany, near where my parents lived, two years in Columbus, Ohio, a year in Washington, D.C., a year in Denver, a year back in Columbus, Ohio, and then I moved here. So nothing changed for the first 18 years, and then 4 years, and then I moved six times in 7 years. So when I came here to Atlanta in 2001, I was like, that's it. We're going to stay. We're not going to move. We're not going to do anything, because if I just stay here, nothing will change. I know. It's God's joke on me. That was really what I thought. I thought, you know, if we just stay here, things will stay the same. I can have that consistency, that sense of permanence that made me feel so comfortable as a child. So, I at the time we moved here, I knew all of one person, and her name was Susie. Susie Goldman. She had been married a few years back to her husband, Rich. So we called Susie and Rich, and we're like, hey, you want to get together and have dinner? Which was convenient because Susie and Rich did not cook anything. They didn't cook at all. So anytime we wanted to go out to dinner, just call Rich and Susie, be like, where are you going? Can we join you? They'd be like, oh, sure, come along. So we went out to this place called Fajitas, where they had really good fajitas. This wasn't just a clever name. And we clicked. And just, you know, sometimes you go out with people and you get to know them a little bit and you click. So a couple weeks later, got together again with Rich and Susie. And we just started, every couple of weeks, just kind of having dinner with Rich and Susie. They decided to cook once, and it was when Rich was a big hockey player, so it was when the Olympics were in Salt Lake, and the U.S. was playing in the gold medal hockey game, so Rich made a pot roast. It was good, it was fine, it wasn't anything to, you know, get excited about, but he cooked and they invited us. It was a big deal, felt like a step, you know, like we were moving forward, and my wife got pregnant, so... Well, you know, her and Susie would hang out and talk about pregnancy and all that stuff. Our daughter was born, and they came over and met and saw the baby. And then Susie got pregnant, and we're like, this is great. The kids are going to grow up together. And they said, now we're moving back to New York. And I was like, I don't think you know how this is supposed to work. See, the way this is supposed to work is I moved here, and now everything's supposed to stay the same. And they said, yeah, that's great. We're moving to New York. Okay. And that was when I started to realize that I could stay the same and not change anything, and the world would move on around me. And that's how Stephen King described it in The Dark Tower, if you ever read The Dark Tower. He just describes it how the world kind of moves on. When we moved into our house, there was an intersection nearby that had a Kroger shopping center and trees, another three corners. There's now the Kroger Shopping Center, the Lowe's Plaza, the Walmart, and the strip mall with the Taco Mac in it. The world has just kind of moved on. And that's what's happened here for these Jewish folks in this synagogue. They've been honoring the Sabbath for a long, long time. 1,200 years, really, if you think about it. I mean, that's when... That's the best guess about when the Exodus took place. That's the best guess about when the Ten Commandments were headed out. It's about 1200 BC, give or take, right? 100 years here or there. 1,200 years. They've been fighting. I mean, you think, like, America's been around a long time? You know, how we talk about, you know, the Bill of Rights and all this stuff? Well, it's been a drop in the bucket compared to how long at this point the Jews were honoring the Sabbath. Now, Jesus comes along and he says, you know, I haven't come to get rid of the law, but we got to do some things differently. And they're like, I don't think you know how this works. And, you know, you can almost see the committee meeting. I mean, you can see the committee meeting. Oh, here we are, we're Lutherans, we love our committees, we love our meetings. You can just see the committee getting together, right? The nurture committee, I guess this would be. Phil's going to talk a little bit. Be the nurture committee, because we're talking about caring for members. It'd be like, Jesus, we need to come talk to you about this healing thing. Okay, fine. It's fine that you healed. Like, we like the healing. We like it that people got well. But, okay, she's been sick for 18 years. I could have waited a day. Am I right? All right, just one more day, and then you get to follow along with the rules, and everybody's happy. That's kind of how we kind of roll as Lutherans. We like our order. We like our structure. We like consistency, constancy. We like that. It's a strength. It's also a weakness. And whenever I think about that and being Lutheran, I think about what happened when Katrina hit. This was amazing to me. Katrina hits, right? And boom, and it's on the news and all this. Actually, we're kind of like having like Katrina flashbacks with all this stuff that's going on now. But Katrina hits, and it's on the news. All these people don't have food and water. And this guy at my church who owned a construction company and had dump trucks, he was like, look, I want to fill the dump truck up, and I want to drive it down there. Don't we have like a disaster response? I'm like, actually, we do. We have this Lutheran disaster response group, and this is what they do, is they handle disasters. So let me make a phone call. So I made a phone call. I said, I got this guy. He's going to fill up a dump truck. I mean, a dump truck. You know what I mean? This is like, I don't know how many thousands of dollars he's going to spend at Costco, right? Buying food and water and all these emergency supplies. Because people didn't have water. You know what I mean? All the water was bad. It was bad. I don't know if you remember, but it was bad. So I call disaster response. I said, I got this guy. He's going to bring it up. They said, don't go. I'm like, I don't think you know how this works. You know, have you watched the news? Have you been paying attention to what's going on? They said, well, if he goes now, it's going to mess up the disaster response because when people just show up, that's time that the first responders have to spend, you know, dealing with them and telling them where to go, and it actually slows down the response. So I called him back, and he said, yeah, I'm going. So he filled up his dump truck, and he drove as far as he could southwest until he couldn't drive anymore. And then he just started honking his horn, and people came out, and he gave out all the food and the water and everything, and he drove back. And I have been, like, I've been processing that for a long time. I kind of felt like it was almost like my Lutheran shame, in a way, you know, that we told somebody who wanted to help that they couldn't go. So a couple years ago, I met this woman who works for FEMA. It was on an airplane. We're just talking about stuff. It was an airplane, that's right. And we're just talking about stuff, and you know, oh, you work for FEMA. Okay, you work for FEMA. Yeah, what do you do? Oh, here we go. I'm a pastor. Never know where that one's going to go. So, what kind? I said, Lutheran. She said, oh, we love Lutherans. I'm like, I don't think you know how this works. And she says, well, we love Lutherans. And I said, well, why on earth would you love Lutherans? And she said, because Lutherans stay until the job is done. I mean, it's been 11 years since Katrina, and there are still Lutherans going to New Orleans to clean it up. We're not so good on the front end when it comes to the quick and the easy stuff, but lots of people do that. What we do is the long term. That's how we think. That's how we operate. That's how we function. And so we can very easily relate to this Jewish group who's hearing this idea that maybe it's okay to heal on the Sabbath and going, I don't think you know how this works, Jesus. That's not how we roll as Lutherans. But Jesus is saying that there needs to be a change here. Because the world has moved on, and the world has kind of moved on for us here. I mean, we've been doing the same things. The same things that we've been doing for a while. This church has been fairly constant. It's the world around us that got different, you know? And now the folks who live around us, they don't come from the Midwest like they did a while back. They didn't move from Wisconsin. Did I say that right? Did I say that? Wisconsin? I'm trying here. Minnesota. They didn't move from Minnesota. Now they're coming from other countries and far off places. And the world has moved on, and it's not our fault. We didn't do anything wrong. It's just that things changed. And so now God's saying, well, okay, the world has moved on. It's time to do some things differently. We're like, all right, well, let's form a committee and we'll talk about that. So we have a committee because we're Lutherans. That's what we do. Right? And it's great. They're called the anagram is HOST. I come up with that myself. I'm very proud of that. But it's the Hispanic Outreach Strategy Team. And they're trying to figure out how it is, okay, that we adjust to this new kind of way that the world has moved on. But let's be clear why Jesus came. He didn't come to get rid of the Sabbath. Jesus observed the Sabbath. He was faithful to it. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. And so the changes that we're going to be talking about making as we're trying to fulfill this vision God is giving us of being a church that reflects our community and has all ages. And by the way, last week when I talked about that, talked about the idea of having a church with a bunch of kids running around, some of you thought, I don't know, we're going to ship all the old people off to the home and be done with them. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being a church with all ages and better reflecting our community with our age demographics and getting a bunch of kids and young families and middle-aged people like me. I'm exactly middle-aged, so there you go. I have a soft spot for middle-aged people. That's what we're talking about. But we're not talking about getting rid of y'all. And we're not talking about changing the whole thing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about adjusting some of the things we do. As Jesus said, though, he didn't come to fundamentally change who the Jewish people were. He came to bring them into the new world. And so we're not talking about changing who we are, because that would be a shame. Because this church has something that the world out there needs. Has a lot of things. This is a place where grace is not just a name. This is a place where everyone is welcome. This is a place where you can stand up on Sunday and say something that maybe you shouldn't, and people are going to forgive you. We're going to love you. We're going to give you a hug. We're going to tell you it's all right. This is a place where you can make a mistake and have shame and guilt. We're going to love you. And that doesn't happen out there. I watched Al Roker lose his mind, Al Roker of all people, because Ryan Lochte lied about what happened in Brazil. All it takes, you know it, all it takes is one tweet, one Facebook post, right? One thing that these people say, and everybody's all over you. We're a place of grace. You can say dumb stuff here. You can be broken. You don't have to have it all together. And we're going to love you. And the people out there, they need that bad. They need that, and especially the people who've moved in because they don't have a support network. They don't have grandma and grandpa nearby. They don't have aunts and uncles that they can call. They're alone. They need a family. They need a family that's going to love them, that's going to welcome them in, that no matter what they do wrong, they're going to have a place. That's us. We have something that they need. And all we're talking about doing is just changing the packaging somewhat, just changing how we approach some things so that we can better reach out. This is our gift. God has given us this gift. I have no idea why this church is the way it is. I don't know how it got there, and I don't care, because I know how it is. That's why I'm here, because I believe in it. I believe in you all and this community. I believe in what we have. I believe in what God has given us. And I believe that the world outside needs it. Needs it bad. And I want to help us figure out how to reach out to them. Bring them in so that they can experience the kind of grace that you and I feel each and every time we interact with each other. Not just on Sunday mornings, but on Tuesdays, on Thursdays, all the time. This is what God has given us. And God is calling us to share it. And that's what we're talking about. It's exciting. It's fun. We're going to have a few committee meetings where people go, Pastor, I don't think you know how this works. I know that. You know that too. But we're going to work together to reach out and share this amazing gift that God has given us. God loves you. So do I. Amen.